as President Trump meets with the president of El Salvador, who has called himself the coolest dictator. Stay with us. Al-Ghiwan. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Trump's meeting in the White House today with the Salvadoran president, Nayib Bukele, saying the two are working together to, quote, eradicate terrorist organizations. Secretary of State Marco Rubio posted Sunday on social media, quote, last night, another 10 criminals from the MS-13 and Tren de Aragua foreign terrorist organizations arrived in El Salvador. The alliance between POTUS and President Nayib Bukele has become an example for security and prosperity in our hemisphere, unquote. President Bukele has been a key ally in allowing the Trump administration to remove hundreds of alleged Venezuelan and Salvadoran gang members to El Salvador's notorious Cecot prison with little or no evidence or due process. When the Trump administration earlier ignored federal judge James Boasberg's order that, quote, any plane containing these folks that is going to take off or is in the air needs to be returned to the United States, President Bukele tweeted in response, oopsie, too late. And that was retweeted by Secretary of State Marco Rubio. This comes as the Department of Justice argued in court filings Sunday the administration's not required to return wrongfully expelled Maryland resident Kilmar Abrego Garcia, despite a unanimous Supreme Court ruling that ordered the government to facilitate his return, but remained vague on how exactly this would happen. The husband and father of three has no criminal record. President Trump was questioned by a reporter Friday about Kilmar Abrego Garcia.
Is that the one that was not Tren de Aragua, but he was MS-13?
This is the one that they've said needs to come back.
No, but was he MS-13? Because I only know by that. I mean, I don't know which one, but if the Supreme Court said bring somebody back, I would do that. I respect the Supreme Court.
And the lower court judge as well. He's been asking for
data. I'm not talking about the lower court. I have great respect for the Supreme Court. So I'm not available. You know, I'm not totally well-versed as to the specific case, but if they said to bring him back, I would tell them to bring him back.
For more, we're joined by Maria Hinojosa, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, founder of Futuro Media, host of Latino USA, co-executive producer of the Pulitzer Prize-winning podcast Suave, which is starting its new season this week. And we're going to talk about that soon. But first, it's great to have you in studio. Talk about your reporting trip to El Salvador and today's meeting between President Trump and President Bukele of El Salvador.
Amy, it's great to be with you. I was in El Salvador several weeks ago. I went down to do a story, actually, that has to do with women behind bars. We'll talk about that when we break that story coming up soon. So I was attempting to get access to the women's prison as well as Cecot.
And explain what Secot is.
Secot is a new prison. It is a, how can you say it? It's like an industrialized form of prison making, right? Super new, built up, lights on all the time. But the problem is not only the way in which the prison is constructed, but because of Bukele and basically de facto martial law in El Salvador, when you are put in that prison, you have no due process. You have no visitors, Amy. No visitors. So when we attempted to go to another prison, Ilopango prison, which used to be the big prison until it was replaced by Secot, that's actually right on a major thoroughway. But there were no people coming in and out. And I just think it's really important for people to understand that. When you are put in prison in El Salvador, you do not have rights for people to come and visit you. Almost no right to even get a lawyer. It is extraordinary. And the only person ultimately, Amy, it's going to sound strange. I know it sounded strange to me. Was you get permission to get into Secot by President Bukele. So it's, that would basically be like President Trump having to give you access to any federal prison that you want to visit. It's an extraordinary hold on power that he controls who will be able to go into that prison. And any journalist who goes has these mixed feelings because they know that they are being used by the Bukele administration to put images out there that put fear in a lot of people. Let us be clear that the people who were first taken by the United States and sent to El Salvador, those people, the majority, are not criminals. They do not have a criminal record. So this is why it should be of concern to everybody, that these are just people who are, by the way, they're not being deported, Amy. Deported means you have gone through a legal process. You have seen a judge. You have been formally deported. These people were removed. It's another way of saying it, but they were removed. No due process, no seeing a judge. Then some people say, well, isn't that really that they were kidnapped and are now being held in El Salvador? And some people would go further and say, weren't they trafficked? If they do not know, if they don't have access to their documents, they don't know where they're going, they don't know who's taking them, they've been told not to speak to anyone, and they don't know when they're going to be released. That is what is the label for somebody who's been trafficked.
It's amazing to watch the video footage of the men being taken to the prison. It was all, I mean, we know how Trump feels about reality television, so carefully filmed. And the images of Kristi Noem, the former South Dakota governor, head of Homeland Security, with her $75,000 Rolex, standing in front of these caged men. This is Salvadoran President Nayib Bukele addressing an adoring crowd at CPAC 2024 in Washington, D.C.
We did the unthinkable to cleanse our society. We arrested the terrorists, but we have to remove corrupt judges and corrupt attorneys and prosecutors. These corrupt judges and prosecutors were setting the gang members free.
And Nancy Pelosi!
And it wasn't just the gangs. The corrupt system worked in tandem with the so-called international community, the NGOs, and of course the fake news, just like it happens here in the United States.
So as you have Bukele going after the NGOs, the fake news, the same language Trump uses, Bukele calling himself the coolest dictator. The significance of this meeting today, Maria, who's modeling themselves on who?
So, Amy, you and I have been covering the story of El Salvador and the United States' involvement in politics in El Salvador since the 1980s.
When the U.S. funded death squads, a paramilitary organization.
There were four Mary Knoll nuns who were raped and murdered by men who were, in fact, de facto trained by the United States, right? People, many young people don't know this. But never, Amy, did I imagine that we would be in a situation where the Trump administration, the United States, is looking to El Salvador, to the Bukele administration, and saying, huh, we kind of like what you're doing. Maybe we should take a cue from you. Why don't we just declare our own form of martial law and deny due process not just to people who were not born in this country, but to everyone? But it's important to know that, like any dictatorship, it is not forever. And what's happened now because of Bukele's administration allowing itself to be used by the Trump administration to house undocumented people, there are cracks that are starting to show. You would not have seen a protest against Bukele in El Salvador. You have in the past month. So people are taking to the streets. The cracks are beginning to show because you cannot have a carceral country without people saying, hey, this is too much. You have taken people with no due process who are innocent and holding them behind bars for decades.
And hundreds of people have died in Salvador's jails and their prisons.
Yeah, and so there are people who are dying right now, Amy, on U.S. territory in detention camps or when they are attempting to cross the border. So death, because you're an immigrant, because you were not born in this country, is a reality for people here. And the horror that, you know, in our country now, there are firing squads. So it is very dystopian. I have to say, being in El Salvador where you only use dollars, it's El Salvador, but the only currency that is used is dollars. It's very strange. I do know how quarters are going to survive in the world. It's because people use quarters to buy pupusas in El Salvador. And it's just like you're using American dollars. Also, Bukele is a mastermind of public relations. He's attempting to change the entire country of El Salvador to a surf city. Go surfing. Just go surfing.
The country of El Salvador is called Surf City.
Basically, that is the new public relations, and he's selling this to American retirees to go and buy up land in El Salvador and make that their home of retirement.
So when we see their men with their heads shaved, not having due process in the United States, most don't know most of the names of the hundreds of people who were sent, and this question of whether Kilmer will be released, you can't have a higher meeting than President Trump with Bukele today, the U.S. paying millions of dollars to imprison the refugees, if you will, those who are kidnapped. We'll see what happens. We'll follow this up tomorrow. But the effect it's having on immigrant communities in the United States, like Chicago, what canceled its Cinco de Mayo celebration?
Amy, that was, first of all, the fact that the United States government is resisting returning Kilmer should be of concern for every single one of us. For myself, not being born in this country, there's a heightened interest. But everyone should care about the fact that the United States is just taking people and removing them without any due process. When I read that Chicago, my hometown, where I was raised, Southsider, that they are canceling the Cinco de Mayo celebration and parade, and what struck me was we don't have anything to celebrate. And this is something, Amy, that as a journalist covering last year, deeply covering the Latino and Latina vote, and being in Latino and Latina communities and hearing Latino voters saying, oh, we like Trump because our economy is terrible and he's a great businessman and I want to be like him, let's get him in. And it's like, did you already forget what happened? This is not new. Our communities have lived through this. But the heightened police state that all of us are living in, by the way, Amy, everyone is only talking about, like, focusing on immigrant communities. We already know that American citizens are being taken out of the country, mistakenly being deported. Oh, whoops. Again, whoopsie. We know now that—
And the lawyer who admitted, the Justice Department lawyer, that they're being so-called deported by mistake has been suspended, put on leave.
Correct. So everyone in the country now, Amy, has to be thinking, do I have a copy of my passport with me? Where's my birth certificate? Wow, where is my birth certificate? Do I know? It is not enough in the United States now to be walking around with your driver's license. And that is the thing, Amy, that I have been talking about for decades, which is, oh, you think it's only impacting people like me who are immigrants? It's impacting you, who were the secret police who were taking protesters off the streets in Seattle and Portland at the height of the Black Lives Matter movement in 2020. They were Border Patrol. What is the largest law enforcement agency in the United States? Border Patrol. Which has the least amount of oversight? Border Patrol. That impacts all of us, not just those of us who are not born in the United States.
Well, this is a conversation we will continue. Maria Hinojosa is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and founder of Futuro Media. She's the host of Latino USA, co-executive producer of the Pulitzer Prize-winning podcast Suave, which is where we're going next. Tomorrow, Suave, and the second season of this podcast, is being released. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
sienten ni pena. Nadie nos dará gobierno majestad. La necesidad es ajena, no sienten ni pena. Allá donde no había, no solicito permiso para la vida. Soy rica en esperanzas y de reto no me niego. Le daré vista hasta el mar ciego. Soy rica en esperanzas y de reto no me niego.
Estoy aquí, I am here, by Quetzal and Martha Gonzalez. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. This week, the Pulitzer Prize-winning podcast, Suave, is back. It's starting its second season, following up on the story of the release of former juvenile lifer David Luis Suave Gonzalez from prison. Since season one, Suave has started a relationship and a career, and season two looks at how his freedom is complicated by the long shadow of prison. This is the trailer.
Suave, so this is the first time that you've been back in the studio. How are you feeling?
Let's get it done.
It's been 7 years since David Luis Suave Gonzalez was released from prison after being sentenced to serve life without parole as a teenager.
We're driving away.
Yes.
Suave, we're driving away from prison.
And it was his unexpected friendship with journalist Maria Hinojosa that brought this story to a national spotlight.
Luis Suave Gonzalez is working hard to give back.
Suave!
Do you like it when people call you Mr. Pulitzer?
Listen, I ain't gonna lie. That plays in my eagles.
But not everything is what it seems.
Being free is not what everybody think it is. It's really not. Everybody hype it up like, oh, your pains and misery are gone. That's bullshit, man. My miseries and pains are just starting.
Because life on the outside means a whole new set of problems, from dealing with lifetime parole.
I can't drink. I cannot smoke a little bit of weed. I can't travel. And I'm like, damn, here, everybody here got a gun. And I'm like, I gotta get out of here.
Trailer for season two of Suave. As we reported in 2021, the podcast came after Maria Hinojosa met Suave while she was giving a talk at the Graterford State Correctional Institution in Pennsylvania. In fact, Suave was sort of the inspiration for her talk there. He was pushing people to get that great Latina journalist into the prison. They stayed in touch after they met through letters, visits, and phone calls that Maria recorded. Season one included dramatic exchanges like this one, when the Supreme Court ruled it's unconstitutional to impose mandatory sentences of life without parole on juveniles. The ruling was retroactive and gave thousands of people, including Suave, a chance at freedom. This is a clip of the call. This is Suave's call to Maria to announce the good news.
Thank you for using Securus. You may start the conversation now.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Maria. How are you doing this morning?
Suave, it is Friday, June 9th at 10:44 in the morning. What's going on? I thought we were going to talk at 2. What happened?
I wanted to let you know that the judge told the lawyer this morning we don't have to wait no longer. June 26th, 17 days from today, we bring him to court so he can go see parole in July.
What? So it's like totally not a normal day for you in prison after 30 years. Today is...
And I had a dream, like, that I was eating Chinese food.
What were you eating?
egg roll and some pork fried rice, and then I woke up and I'm in bed.
So that's David Luis Suave Gonzalez in season one of the Pulitzer Prize-winning podcast Suave. I mean, it's more than being in a podcast, that incredible moment when he learns after 31 years he could be free. As season two begins this week, and Suave is now an artist and author of a new book just out titled From Prison to the Pulitzer Prizes. He's joining us in our studio for more, along with Maria Hinojosa, co-executive producer of Suave, founder of Futuro Media, host of Latino USA. We welcome you both back to Democracy Now! It's great to have you with us. Congratulations on the Pulitzer Prize once again, the 2022 Pulitzer Prize. Suave, in season one, I mean, this fact that we're following you for decades in prison, and then you're free, but it hasn't been so easy. Talk about what freedom means to you.
Freedom means to me being off parole. Currently, I'm on parole for the rest of my life. That's not freedom. That's reporting to somebody, my move of being monitored by the DOC. That's not freedom. A lot of people think you home, you got a good job, you got good friends. Yes, but I'm not really free. You know, there was this thing that Maria used to tell me when I was in prison. You're in the big prison and the little prison. I was in the little prison when I was inside because I expected to have all my phone calls monitored. I expected to have every move monitored. But I come home, I wasn't expecting this. I wasn't expecting to report to somebody. I need to go across city lines. Can I go? I need to go shopping. This place, can I go? I need to travel. Can I go? And if they feel like they don't want to give you permission, they can say no. You know, so that's not freedom. To me, freedom means totally free, being able to do what I want to do in life. If I want to drink, being able to have a beer if I want to have a beer, being able to smoke a joint if I want to smoke a joint, even though I don't. But if I want to, I can't, because I could get violated and get put back in prison. If somebody make a false phone call and say, well, he looked at me wrong, I feel threat, I could go back to prison. That's not freedom. When the United States Supreme Court said that it was unconstitutional to keep a juvenile in prison for life, then it should be unconstitutional to keep that same juvenile on parole for life.
I want to go to another aspect of being out of prison, to a clip from season two with Suave, exploring how to build friendships after being incarcerated for over three decades.
After years trying to decipher their relationship, pen pals, interviewer, interviewee, creative collaborators, Maria and Suave have been saying the F word openly now, friendship. Although, what does it actually mean? I recently asked both Suave and Maria to give me their own definitions of friendship.
Friends are basically someone who you would be prepared to take a bullet for. A friend is somebody who you have deep communication with on multiple layers of your life, and where there is deep love and respect.
First of all, I can't describe it because I don't know what friendship is. I really don't. I have a lot of people that I associate with, but when it comes to friends, I don't even know what that is, because I come from a place where there is no friends.
In this friendship, in particular between Maria and Suave, it's had some highs, but also it's had some really rough spots.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking.
Maria,
hold on.
I was going to let me talk, Maria, because I don't speak.
Let me finish.
Hold on.
Okay. If you want to go there, you want to know what? That you didn't call me.
You're going to apologize to me. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Nobody groped me. And I was like, all right, bye.
And that's when I said to him, I was like, no one treats me this way, Suave. No one.
Friendship, or intimacy in general, for that matter, has been one of the biggest challenges for Suave since getting out of prison. How to connect with someone, how to be vulnerable, how to be open. All of these things that he never really had to think about, because in prison, it was so important to protect himself, to close himself off from other people.
Someone that's been in prison for decades, it's going to take a long time gain that trust. Because in the back of my mind, always going to be, if I ever get locked up, will you stick by me?
That's Suave. It's the second season. That voice also Julieta Martinelli, who is the host of this series. Maria, you did the first series. You both won the Pulitzer Prize. So why the second series? And at the end of it, Suave's free. Freed.
So we didn't know that there was going to be a season two to Suave. I didn't expect to win the Pulitzer Prize and an IDA award. Suave and I have this strange thing, which is that we record every single phone call that we make. It's just part of who we are. That is part of our relationship, journalist, source, and friends. We're like
Maria, FBI in a Hossa.
But so we didn't know there was going to be a season two. Thanks to the Mellon Foundation and the president, Elizabeth Alexander, the great poet, they believed in the project and they said, we want a season two. And we actually, season two, Amy, is so dramatic. And as soon as I finished binging on season two, I called up Suave and I said, thank you. Thank you for telling your story for everyone to hear. It is incredibly dramatic. Suave is incredibly vulnerable. And we are asking that question about what is freedom, what is happiness, and what 31 years behind bars, seven of them in solitary confinement, what it looks like when you get on the outside.
Seven of the 31 in solitary confinement. You get out, you are free. People are saying, how does it feel to be free? You don't feel free, and you have a mental breakdown.
Yes. Y'all going to hear that in season two. Because I really never had treatment. I never really went to therapy after incarceration to deal with the trauma. So I come home, you know, I'm living to other people's expectation, not my expectation. I want to fit in. And this is the problem of people that serve a lot of years in prison. They come home, they want to fit in, they say yes to everything, and not knowing that what we're doing is re-traumatizing ourselves. A lot of us are not ready to fit in to normal society. We need treatment. The DOC, the Department of Correction, need to at least take ownership. They need to take ownership for a lot of people coming home untreated. And trauma is real. And you're going to hear that in season two when my car was stolen, that I was just triggered to a space that nobody wanted to be in. And I realized that I need help. And I went to therapy because it was affecting my life. It was affecting my family's life, the people that love me. And then I start getting phone calls from people. It's like, I'm going through the same thing. But they're ashamed to speak about it because I don't want you to think I'm crazy because I'm going through a crisis. You know, I want to live up to that expectation. I'm a Pulitzer Prize winner. I'm this. But at the end of the day, I'm human, and I'm a person that served 31 years incarcerated without ever seeing a therapist. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do part two and post online at democracynow.org. We're also going to do an interview in Spanish, where you can go to our Spanish website, link to it at democracynow.org. David Luis Suave Gonzalez, subject and co-executive producer of the Pulitzer Prize-winning podcast Suave. His new book, From Prison to the Pulitzer Prizes, and the Pulitzer Prize-winning producer and journalist Maria Hinojosa.
Is that a normal part of your singing?
That's the way I've always sung. That's just my song.
Are there subliminal duets?
Absolutely not.
The Metal Meltdown, a show that brings you melody-driven heavy metal from around the world. Melting your ears every Monday night from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on CJSF 90.1 FM. We'll be right back.